Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love was nailed. You must believe He wants the best for you, though your prayers have yet to show. So let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers, and heals. For He gave His Son, the Lamb of God, who's the Savior.
Day. This is Ann Winter here at the Zoe Radio Network, welcoming you to our final discussion for now on the Issachar anointing. This is our fourth session on this topic. And this verse, where it speaks of the sons of Issachar, especially in 1 Chronicles 12:32, has always made me hungry for the supernatural life. It says, "And the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do." The Living Bible says, the tribe of Issachar were men that understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Jesus spoke of discerning the signs of the times in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. He said, you can look at the weather and you can tell whether it's going to be a sunny day or a rainy day. He said, if you in the natural are capable of understanding the weather by looking at the signs, the clouds, etc., the winds, he said, then you should also be able to discern the signs of the times, which they were not doing. And he was chastising them for it. And the signs of the times that he was referring to was the signs that were accompanying his first coming into the world, the miracles, the signs, the wonders that he was performing, the message he was preaching, the authority with which he was preaching, the resurrections from the dead, the bound being delivered. He said, and then you still question whether God sent me. You still question whether I am the Messiah. You can discern the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Paul wrote, he said, in the last days there will be perilous times. Paul spoke also in Romans 13:11 and 12. I want to read those to you. This is from the Message translation, verses 11 through 14. We're talking about now developing an Issachar anointing. I'm doing a little bit of review from the first few broadcasts that we've done, and then moving on to the new material for today. But in the first broadcast, we were looking at Romans 13, 11 to 12, but I want to read it to you out of the Message Bible here, verses 11 to 14. Make sure you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over and dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around in dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. So Paul was encouraging the Romans not to get caught up in what was happening around them, but to wake up to what God was doing. Jesus said, the night is coming when no man can work. God is putting the finishing touches, and the day is about to dawn for the millennium. So there's time for us to finish doing our work in the world. And it's going to take wisdom. It's going to take discernment. It's going to take that Issachar anointing of understanding the times, the signs of the times, and knowing how to conduct ourselves. As believers, we must navigate wisely. In our second broadcast, we talked about the fact that when Moses erected the tabernacle in the wilderness, the 12 tribes encamped around about the tabernacle. And God gave Moses the order in which they were to camp around the tabernacle, just as he gave Moses all the directions for the construction of the tabernacle, how to make the sacrifices, how to make the priest's clothing, anoint the priest, different things. He also gave Moses instruction in how the 12 tribes were to encamp about the tabernacle. And as I was studying Issachar, I found this very interesting fact, that Issachar was camped next to the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Issachar was camped next to the tribe of Judah. Zebulun was on one side of Judah. Issachar was on the other. They were not encamping around about the tabernacle in their birth order. God specifically put certain tribes next to each other. I found it significant that the tribe of Issachar was camped next to the tribe of Judah. This is mentioned in Numbers chapter 2, verse 19. Also, when the cloud lifted off the tabernacle was taken down, and they began to move through the wilderness. They began the march through the wilderness. The Lord gave Moses the instructions that Judah was to lead off first, and then Issachar came next. The word Judah means praise, of course. Hallelujah. Issachar learned to praise. Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun camped on the east at the very door of the tabernacle. So the sons of Issachar saw the people coming and bringing their offerings and their sacrifices. They saw the priests doing their worship service. They heard the praises and the singing. They stayed close to Judah. They got that praise anointing from hanging out with staying close to the tribe of Judah. Now, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. And the wisdom by which Issachar operated, I believe, came from their association with the tribe of Judah. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus is made unto you wisdom from God. James 1, if you lack wisdom, ask. Wisdom for what? Understanding the times in which you live and knowing how you should conduct yourself. So from the second broadcast, I wanted to encourage you to stay close to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Issachar anointing is drawn from camping next to the tribe of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus, he put it this way, I'm the vine, you're the branch, abide in me. In the third broadcast, we talked about another significance of the Issachar anointing, another characteristic of it, was that they pronounced the blessing. In the book of Deuteronomy, when the children of Israel came into the land, Moses, God instructed Moses to carry out this illustration. There were two mounts, Mount Gebal, Mount Gerizim. There was a valley between. The children of Israel marched in through that valley into the promised land. So God had Moses position the tribe of Issachar on the top of Mount Gerizim. And as they, children of Israel, marched through, they would shout out the blessings to them for keeping the law. And then in Mount Ebal, the cursings were pronounced by another tribe. And so as the people were going through into the promised land, they heard the blessings of obedience pronounced from one mountain. They had heard the curses for disobedience pronounced from another mountain. God was reminding them when they marched into the promised land, if they would obey him, Deuteronomy 28 lists the blessings that the children of Issachar pronounced over the tribes of Israel as they marched into the promised land. So that's another characteristic of the Issachar anointing. It blesses, tells of the blessings that are the result of obedience to God. Today, we want to talk about another characteristic of the Issachar anointing. They were leaders in worship. It's a wonderful thing. As I went down through them, a lot of the different worship occurrences that happened in the history of Israel, Issachar had a very significant part. They are mentioned as being present at the worship experiences. And when Moses pronounced a blessing over Israel, well, just before he died, he pronounced a blessing over all the different tribes. And when he got down to the tribes of Zebulun and Issachar, he blessed them together. And he said one of the characteristics would be that they would call the people to worship and make sacrifices of righteousness. So the tribe of Issachar lived up to that statement of Moses. They called the people to worship. They were an example of worship to the people. I wanted to go to Numbers, 2 Chronicles 30:18 as an example of worship. And with them, it was a heart matter. That's what I kept seeing. When Moses erected the tabernacle in the wilderness, all the tribes came one day after another, each day. They all wanted to bring offerings to the Lord. The Lord told Moses, have one tribe come each day for 12 days. So the first day, then we had a listing of all the offerings that Judah brought. The second day was the day that Issachar came. They came right after Judah and bringing all their offerings to the Lord when the tabernacle of Moses was erected in the wilderness. Here in Hezekiah, we see again the sons of Issachar having a heart after the Lord. That's what it's all about. God cares about the heart. The Lord said to me several years ago, it's a heart matter to Him. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the very core of your being. Well, here in 2 Chronicles, we have quite a restoration taking place under King Hezekiah. His father, Ahaz, had been an ungodly man. It says of him, he did not do right in the sight of the Lord. He worshipped idols. And in chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, verse 3, it says, he also burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So he was a very wicked man, and he died. And Hezekiah, his son, came to reign in his stead. And he instituted some reforms. He came to reign approximately 726 B.C. And in 721, the Assyrians raided the northern kingdom of Israel. The 12 tribes had split back in 933 B.C., 200 years before. The 12 tribes had split apart because Rehoboam, Solomon's son, was oppressing the people. And so 10 tribes split off and went north and set up a center for worship in Samaria. We see Jesus and the woman of Samaria discussing this in John chapter 4. The two tribes of Judah and Benjamin stayed down in Jerusalem and kept the worship going there. Well, the 10 northern tribes became more and more wicked, and God sent the Assyrians, who made war against them and carried most of them away into captivity. A few were left still that were worshiping there in Samaria and living in the northern parts of Israel. Well, Hezekiah and Benjamin, Judah, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, were down in southern Israel worshiping at Jerusalem. And they had been corrupt also. Ahaz had been the king. Everything was corrupt down there. But then when Hezekiah came, he instituted the reforms. He had called the priests and the Levites. He said, God has put it in my heart to cleanse his temple, to reestablish you in your office of priest, to reinstitute the sacrifices, and to begin to keep the feast once again. Verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 29 says, where Hezekiah is speaking, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that he turn away his fierce wrath from us. Did you notice that word heart? This was a heart matter again with Hezekiah. It is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. So he commissioned the Levites. The Levites went to work in the temple. They cleaned out all the idols, all of the altars of incense to false gods, the leftovers of sacrifices to false gods. It took them 8 days. And by that time, the time of that they would normally celebrate the Passover had passed. And so rather than keeping the Passover in the first month, Hezekiah counseled with the elders that were around him. And 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 2 says that they decided to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it during the first month because the priests had not sufficiently sanctified themselves. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. So the king made a decree throughout all Israel that they should come to keep the Passover of the Lord at Jerusalem, for they had not done it for a long time. So the king sent out letters, and he, out of a big heart, went ahead and sent out the announcements to the 10 tribes that were up in the northern kingdom, the remnant of them that had not been carried away into Assyria. Verse 6 here in 2 Chronicles 30 says, so the letters went from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation. Do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. So he was encouraging these of the 10 northern tribes, the remnant that had been left in the land after the kings of Assyria had come and taken most of their families and their children into captivity. He said, come down to the Passover at Jerusalem. Don't be stiff-necked and want to worship idols like your father. Have a heart after the Lord. Come and make a fresh covenant with him. And it may be that God will give your children that are captive in the land of Assyria, give them favor in the sight of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians will release a remnant of them and let them come home. Verse 10 says, so the post passed, the post, in other words, the messengers carrying the message, passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, diverse of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came into Jerusalem. So some of the people of the 10 tribes laughed and mocked, but some of them humbled themselves and went down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem and all the altars for incense and cast them in the brook Kidron. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. So they enjoyed the Passover. They finished removing the altars to the false gods in Israel and to Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, threw them in the brook Kidron, and they kept the Passover. And they stood in their place after their manner according to the law of Moses, the man of God, and the priests sprinkled the blood which they had received of the hand of the Levites. And there were many in the congregation, however, that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passover for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. Now, this next part is what I was wanting to get down to about Issachar. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate of the Passover. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days, with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Issachar They had a heart after God. It says, he prepared those who had prepared their heart to seek God. They came down. They wanted to celebrate the Passover. They partook of the Passover meal without having been sanctified, going through the rituals that the law of Moses required, that you needed to be cleansed in order to eat of the Passover. But their heart, their love for God, their joy at celebrating the Passover, once again, after all these years, like then for 200 years since the Passover had been celebrated, when Hezekiah reinstituted it down at Jerusalem. And their hearts were so full of joy at being able to celebrate the Passover, being once again in the temple of Jerusalem, being in the presence of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that their heart just overcame them. And they sat and they partook of the Passover meal, and they didn't let the rigid requirements of the law keep them from enjoying the presence of God. So that told me they loved God more than they feared not keeping that particular law. They just wanted to be in his presence. They were worshipers. They had hearts of worship. And Hezekiah was a very wise king, and I thank God for that, because he didn't bring the law down upon them. It says he looked at them, and he saw their hearts, and he knew how much they loved the Lord, and he prayed for them. Oh, this is so precious. Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepared his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. That shows you God is more interested in your heart than he is in you keeping a religious form, religious rituals. It's a heart matter. So just in concluding, this wonderful little look that we've taken at the sons of Issachar, they had wisdom to discern the signs of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. They drew their wisdom from camping next to Judah. In other words, for us, God will give you wisdom for the times, and the way that he will give you this wisdom is by you staying close to Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he who has made unto you wisdom, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30. The Issachar anointing pronounces blessing upon people. Begin to behold out hope to people. Show them the promises of God, what God can do for them. Pray for them, even if they are not Christians, sinners, no matter who it is. Let's begin to be recipients of the blessing of God. Say, well, how can we be a blesser of those that are disobedient to the Lord? Romans, Paul said, don't return evil for evil, but pronounce the blessing instead of cursing them. And then today we talked about the sons of Issachar, how they had hearts of worship. They were leaders in worship. These are wonderful characteristics to cultivate. Wisdom, blessing, wisdom for your own life, wisdom to have counsel for others, blessing others, and having a heart of worship. Three just wonderful and important characteristics. Stay close to Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and you will have them all. Hallelujah. This is Ann Windsor. Father, I pray for anyone who might be listening to the program today that is outside of the covenants of God and strangers to your promises. Father, I thank you that you have made a way for them to enter into the blessings that you have prepared for those that love you. Just recognize right now that Jesus died for your sins, that he will cleanse everyone and he will give you a new life. Cleanse every one of your sins by his shed blood. The application of his shed blood to your life. Ask him into your heart today and start that new life. Receive that cleansing.